Welcome to the Fan Experience, a Phoenix Rising supporters podcast. Stick around for interviews, analysis, fan stories, and our love affair with Phoenix Rising. And now, to kick things off, is your host, Niall McCarthy.
Phoenix Rising family, welcome to episode 76 of the Fan Experience of Phoenix Rising Supporters Pod. We have a great show lined up for you today. We've got a fantastic guest on the show today, Josh Eastern. We know Josh from TV. He's the voice we hear calling Manny of the Phoenix Rising Games. He's making a return visit to the pod. He was last with us in episode 50. That was 1 year ago in April 2022. In that episode, we got to know Josh and we got to hear him talk about the life of a play-by-play announcer, and he brought us insights about what's involved in the world of live broadcasts. That was an awesome episode. Check it out. We've got a lot to talk about with Josh, most notably Phoenix's win over Greenville Triumph in the US Open Cup on April 5th, and Phoenix's win over Birmingham Legion on Sunday, April 9th. I'm excited to chat with Josh, so let's get to it. Josh Eastern, welcome back to the pod. How are things in the exciting world of TV broadcasting?
Well, Niall, great to be back on the podcast with you. You know, we're kicking off another busy season. The USL seems like it just hops right into full swing right away, and we're already a month into the season, and I think we're in for a really good season ahead of us.
Josh, by the way, it's a good omen to have you on the pod, because when you were with us last year, we were celebrating our first clean sheet of the 2022 season and our first win over San Antonio FC ever. That was awesome. And now here we are again, celebrating two back-to-back wins. So it could be coincidence, but it does feel like you bring us some good luck, Josh.
Well, hopefully it could continue as well, because I think last April was also Phoenix Rising. So we'll see if this April is the same.
Yeah, definitely. And right now I should schedule you for the cup final. That way I think we're going to win.
Deal. I'm in for it.
All right, Josh. Okay, let's tackle the big picture stuff first. We're 5 weeks into the season, just finished 5 weeks. Taking a look at the Eastern Conference, Birmingham Legion are top of the standings. Does that surprise you?
I'm honestly going to say no. I mean, obviously we all saw the game over the weekend against Phoenix, but I think what Tom Soane has been building there is sort of similar to kind of what wants to do with Phoenix Rising, that he's had a core together now for a decent amount of time, and now he's starting to add some supplemental pieces to it. We saw Juan Agudelo be signed in the middle of last year. He's added on a few more pieces this year, getting a loanee, Colin Smith, who was, I thought, really good at right back yesterday or on Sunday. So I think they've been kind of this for some time. They've been competitive in the league over the last few years, and I think them at the top of the standings right now, it shouldn't be too big of a surprise.
Gotcha. Well, sitting in the number two spot, and I'm not going to go through them from 1 to 12, but in the number two spot is Lou City. And even though they're in the number two spot, they had two pretty shocking losses. They lost to El Paso 3-0, and they lost to Sacramento Republic 5-0. So, you know, a lot of us are like shaking our heads. What's going on there, Josh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just in talking with Danny Cruz and having done a few Louisville games already, they have been just traveling all over the place. Two of their first two games were on the West Coast in California. Then they come back home. Then they go back out to Sacramento. So they've done a lot of traveling here in the early going. Of course, they're still trying to get everybody healthy. I think everybody's probably gone through a little bit of an injury scare already this season. But I think they're going to come around, obviously. 9 points through five games is pretty solid. It puts them up towards the top, and I think it's just a matter of time before they start to really kick it in a high gear.
Gotcha. So you're not predicting any more 5-0 losses for them?
I doubt it, because, well, I mean, Sacramento's a very good team, but yeah, I don't think they're going to lose 5-0, and especially 3-0 on their home field as well.
Okay. FC Tulsa. We heard a lot of excitement about them in the off season, and I think they were high in the various rankings. So they've only had one win so far. So that kind of surprised me. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, you know, it's going to take some time for, I think, the FC Tulsa kind of project to come together. And Sam Doerr, of course, Phoenix Rising fans know him well. And same thing with Blair Gavin. They're building a new team. I mean, they have so many players coming in for the first time to FC Tulsa. They still have a good core there together, but they've also played a ton of games. They've had a lot of fixture congestion already kind of early in this season. Their schedule kind of lightens up in April. So I think when they have into games and have full weeks in between, I think they'll really start to get it going. But it has been a bit of a slow start to the season for them, but I do believe they'll be there come the end.
Yeah. Okay, great. And the connection to Phoenix Rising, as you mentioned, Blair Gavin, he was an assistant coach with us, and Sam Doerr, he was our marketing guy. So he is the president of FC Tulsa. And Blair Gavin is the head coach. It's pretty amazing. So we've got a connection. We'll be watching out for them. Another team that I want to talk about from the East Coast, Tampa Bay Rowdies. Now, they've one win, two losses, two draws. We don't expect that from the Rowdies.
Yeah, I mean, this has been an interesting season. Of course, losing Leo Fernandez, season-ending injury is not going to help things. Sebastian Guenzatti goes to Indy 11. Obviously, Forrest Lasso comes back, but I think they're still just kind of searching for it early in the season. Got a big win against in-state rival Miami FC over the weekend, posted a clean sheet. So I think it's going to take some time for it to come together. They need to sort some things out in the attacking phase of the game, but I think as the season moves along, Neil Collins has been here. He's obviously a very proven quantity in this league. I think Tampa will definitely make a move up the standings, but it has definitely – not been the best start, and definitely a little bit of caution there for Tampa Bay to start.
Okay, the last one I'm going to mention is Detroit. I was surprised they've got four losses, more losses than anybody else in that conference, and one win. So do you think they can turn it around?
Yeah, this one's going to be tricky because I was doing their Open Cup game against crosstown rival Gold Star FC from NISA. And right now, Detroit is just, I mean, they're just struggling to score. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Luckily, they're not leaking too many goals. So they're in every game or in a lot of games being competitive. But it's definitely not the same city we saw a year ago. Obviously, a little bit of turnover within the squad. But Trevor James he's searching for it. We talked to him before that game, and he said, well, I mean, we just need to put the ball in the back of the net. That's what it comes down to. So they're working through a bit of growing pains. Obviously it's just in their second year in the USL championship, but they have a lot of pickup. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that progresses as this season moves along. But right now they're just looking for some quality and some finishing in the final third.
Gotcha. Let's move it over to the Western Conference. Number one and number two, Sacramento Republic, San Antonio FC. I don't think there are any surprises to see the two of them up top.
Yeah, no surprises at all. I mean, coming into the year, I think we kind of pegged both of these teams to be up there towards the top. Obviously, San Antonio, the champions last year, but Sacramento Republic, of course, with that Open Cup run, I think a lot of people were expecting them to kind of make that next jump in the league this year. I know they finished, I believe it was fourth last year in the Western Conference, so no surprise to see both those teams up towards the top. Tons of quality, really good coaches, so I would expect them to be battling it out pretty much until the end of the season.
Okay. I know it's early days, but are there any surprises so far this season in the Western Conference?
I think maybe I'll give you two. I'm going to give you Orange County. I'm a little bit surprised that it's taken them a little bit to get going. I know they brought in quite a few new players as well, but I just thought after last year with a down season, they'd be able to bounce right back. And then the other one is Monterey Bay. I did their game against New Mexico over the weekend. I was very impressed. I know we're going to talk about them a little bit more because that's the next game up for Phoenix. But I think Frank Yallop has that team really clicking right now early in the season. I think come the summer, come the end of the season, I think they could be right there looking for a playoff spot.
Great. So before I leave the other teams Josh, just want to talk about Las Vegas Lights. So they're back for another season in the USL Championship. And to put it bluntly, I didn't expect to see them back because of their connection with LAFC. Last year, they were using the LAFC training grounds. Their coaching staff was affiliated with the LAFC. But surprise, surprise, here they are. And it appears that they don't have that same connection. So were you surprised to see them return? And do you have any insights on that?
Honestly, I wasn't too surprised. I had a feeling. I know that it was a little bit radio silent for a while out of Las Vegas, but this team has been around for a while, and they do have a good following. I know people have their qualms about Cashman Field and all that, but I think this team was ready to go for this year. It just took them a little bit after LAFC kind of moved over to MLS Next Pro and became LAFC 2. Now Las Vegas is on their own. They're back in the Open Cup. They got a good win in this round. So they've only played 3 games so far. They've had 3 draws. So I don't know if we can read a whole lot into Las Vegas here in the early going, but I'm going to be curious just to kind of see what they're about this year, because I don't think a lot of people know about them. They're a bit of an unknown quantity. So we'll see.
Okay, fantastic, Josh. Let's talk about the Open Cup. Phoenix Rising played in the Open Cup on Wednesday, as did many other teams across the nation. So just for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about the Open Cup and the format?
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of the Open Cup. Since I started calling it last year, I guess, was my first year calling it, since it was gone for a couple of years. But I absolutely love the Open Cup. I mean, it's the ultimate kind of David versus Goliath. You get MLS teams against USL teams. You get championship teams against League One teams. You get kind of those local qualifiers who are coming through some of those lower ranks, and they're trying to make a name for themselves. And I love everything about it, because it's cup football home, and there's just so much online. It's so much different than league play, which is a little bit more, I don't know how to say it. I guess there's just a little bit more jeopardy when it comes to the U.S. Open Cup. And obviously, we just came out of the second round, which was when the NISA teams came in. And now we're starting to get our first batch of MLS teams coming in. So this is when the tournament starts to get exciting. You get those USL games versus MLS teams. So this is where I'm really excited for the third round in a few weeks now.
Great. And what keeps bringing us back are the cup sets, when you get a lower division team winning over a higher division team. Have we seen any of that so far?
We definitely have. And we've also seen a couple of close ones. Memphis 901 had to go all the way to the 124th minute before they scored a winner over one Knoxville. Obviously some good ones as well, with Tormenta beating RGV, FC Tulsa going down. Union Omaha got a big win. Northern Colorado beat Colorado Springs for the second straight year. So there have been some good ones. And how about Sacramento Republic? They were pushed to the very against Crossfire Redmond, which is actually a team from my area of the world in Seattle, where I grew up. But 5-4 going to extra time, that was a really good one. But yeah, I think Phoenix, they played a tough game against Greenville. Greenville's always tough, and they were able to get the win there. So they avoided the cup set, and now they'll get a chance against New Mexico United in a few weeks.
Brilliant. I'd love to dig a little bit deeper into that Open Cup game where Phoenix took on Greenville Triumph here in Phoenix, and the final score was 1-0. Carlos Harvey scored in the 21st minute, and I was there, Josh. I was in the stadium, and although there were a lot more shots on goal from Phoenix, and at times we dominated, I was also a little bit nervous. I felt that Greenville could have come back and scored at any time. What was your takeaway from that game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a typical Greenville Triumph performance. They're going to defend for their lives. They're okay not having the ball, but they're going to come up with some big chances. Obviously, Patrick Rakowski made a big save at the end, but I think my biggest takeaway is actually from something Juan Guerra said in our chat going into the Birmingham game, where he said, if we're going to have that much control, we really need to turn it into more goals, because they had 68% possession, 17 shots in that game. They had countless chances to score. And I'll give a lot of credit to the Greenville goalkeeper. I thought he was really good within the starting 11 for Phoenix in that game. But to Juan's point, if they're going to have all that possession, all those opportunities, They've got to put things away. It did not make it easy for them to close that game out. Greenville almost found an equalizer on a few different opportunities. So I think overall Phoenix is happy to get the win and move on. So it'll be interesting, I guess, moving forward now, kind of how Phoenix reacts to a game like that, because Greenville pushed him to the limit. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But in the end, Phoenix was able to show their quality and get the win.
Right. When I talked to Devin Kerr last week, he talked about in a week like this, where you've got a midweek game, that you're going to see some rotation. So you mentioned already that in goal, we had Patrick Rakowski, and he came up big for us. No doubt it was fantastic. Who else on the night played what was notable?
I thought the performance of Carlos Anguiano was actually really strong. I know he's been coming off an injury to start the season, but I asked Wangera this week about Carlos Anguiano. And he said, first thing out of his mouth was, I love Carlos. So that's a good start. And he said he fits into how they want to play so perfectly. Right. I mean, he was right there paired next to Carlos Harvey for that first half. I thought he put in a really good performance. I also thought it was really good to see Erickson Gallardo, pardon me, get his first start for Phoenix Rising. So I think there were a lot of positive signs in that game. Obviously, there's still a few things to work out as he still tries to find his best 11. But overall in the night, I thought Anguiano and Gallardo were two really intriguing pieces for me.
Great. And Josh, where do we go from here? It's into round three. My understanding is that New Mexico are going to host us in that round.
Yeah, that's correct. So obviously with the draw, they ended up drawing New Mexico United. That's now, I believe, the third straight Open Cup that they have played New Mexico, though this one is the first one they'll be going on the road. Obviously, last year they were able to get a good win against New Mexico and move on, obviously in 2019, losing in penalties. But it's New Mexico United. It's obviously there's some tension there, if you will, between the two teams. So now there's a few more common threads between the team with Santi Moar and Greg Hurst in yellow and black this year. But I think that's going to be a really good matchup. And Phoenix is definitely going to have their hands full. It's been a bit of a rocky start for New Mexico, at least to start this season. But I don't see why Phoenix shouldn't feel confident going in there and trying to get that win.
Great. Okay, Josh. Well, let's pivot to talk about yesterday's game. Birmingham Legion hosted Phoenix Rising. And what were your expectations going into that game?
Yeah, I mean, this was a game where we're going on the road against a team that had not lost yet this season. I knew this was going to be a really big test for Phoenix. And I thought going into the game, if they can get a point out of it, I think they'd be really happy just based on how Birmingham has been playing, how Phoenix is still kind of getting over that early season injury bug, but now they're starting to get players back. Obviously no Jose Hernandez and Fede Varela who were both out, but I thought the players who were in the lineup were fantastic and they put in a really, really gutsy performance. I know there were 8 yellow cards handed out to Phoenix Rising players, but getting the full 3 points on the road against Birmingham, when you look back on that win come October, if Phoenix is fighting for seeding, trying to get into the playoffs, wherever they are, they're going to look back very fondly on the 3 points they picked up in Birmingham, because it was a really, really strong win.
Great. I agree. It really, you know, my prediction is always that Phoenix are going to win 4-0. But I was nervous going into this game, you know, Birmingham being top of the league over there, top of the standings in the Eastern Conference. It's definitely very nervous about our chances, you know, being on the road. We haven't had a win so far. And to come away from that game with a win was just incredible. In the first half, Josh, there were no goals. How did you think Phoenix looked in that first half? And I think it's important to differentiate between the first half of that game and the second half, because it was a very different look from both teams in each half.
Yeah, I thought the first half Phoenix was, they were battling it a little bit. They obviously came up with a few good chances, forcing Trevor Spangenberg, who started in goal for Birmingham, into a few saves. But I felt like they were just missing a little bit of something going forward. They were They were doing quite a bit of it felt like when they wanted to possess the ball and play through the lines, because that's how Juan Guerra sets this team up. They were having a bit of trouble doing so, but I think Danny Trejo coming on at halftime really changed that. We can get into that in a second, but just to finish up the thoughts on the first half, it just felt like they were still searching for something a little bit. And they just need a little extra going forward. But I think both teams were still trying to kind of figure each other out. It's so obviously different when a team from the East plays a team from the West, because they don't see each other that often. They obviously played last year in Phoenix where Legion got the 1-0 win. But when you don't see a team all too often, it's always interesting how the start of the game is going to play out. I think both teams were a little bit hesitant to make too many ventures forward without being exposed at the back. But I thought Rios Novo was solid in goal in that first half when he needed to be. And going into halftime, I felt like it was still there for the taking for sure.
Beautiful. Okay, well, let's move it along to the second half. And that's when we saw goals. So Phoenix got the first goal. Incredible. It felt like there were two different teams out there to me. The tempo was so much faster. But Danny Trejo, he scored with an assist from Gabby Torres in the 58th minute. Incredible. Any thoughts on that, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I think Danny Trejo coming on at halftime completely changed the game. I mean, obviously the goal he scored, but just little pockets of space that he could work into just really started to open that attack up for Phoenix Rising. And obviously he's a proven quantity in the USL Championship. He was great with Las Vegas Lights. And this was a huge signing coming in for Phoenix Rising this year. Keeping him healthy is obviously going to be of utmost importance moving forward, but I thought he completely changed the game. It really got Phoenix in a more attacking mindset going forward. And when the ball was at his feet, good things were happening. And obviously Gabby Torres connecting with Trejo, just like it was week one at Charleston. It was a great start. And obviously that was kind of that portion of the game where there were offside goals and things being called off. So it was getting a little chaotic, but I thought that goal came at a great time for Phoenix. Unfortunately, though, just a minute later, yeah, Birmingham responded. But obviously, that was still a great start. Able to get that first goal, being able to play from in front is something Phoenix hasn't really done a whole lot this year. So getting that was very important.
Right. And as you said, just 1 minute later, we saw a goal on the from Birmingham Legion. I guess we just let our guard down and they just came out too fast for us, Josh.
Yeah, I don't really know how to read into that goal a whole lot. I mean, it was just whether it was a defensive breakdown on that side, because Gabby Alves, who scored the goal, was in just a ton of space to get the shot away. Obviously, Rios Novo comes off his hand, a bit unfortunate there. He couldn't keep it out, but that was a tough one for sure, because Phoenix, it looked like, had all of the momentum after the goal. They were obviously big celebrations because they finally broke through. But yeah, that was a tough moment. I think kind of brought them down to earth a little bit, but the goals just kind of kept flying. They obviously scored a few minutes later and we'll get into that in a second. But yeah, that was a bit of a wake up call for Phoenix. And obviously from the rest of the game on, they locked it down at the back.
Great. So that second goal from Phoenix came in the 66th minute. Carlos Harvey, and he has been incredible for us this season, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, and I think for a lot of people, he was man of the match. I mean, he was all over the place for Phoenix Rising. Obviously, the goal as well, that was the winner in the end. But he's been such a big piece for this team, just a rock in the middle. He's always just so clean on the ball. When he needs to make a challenge, he's always kind of measured in how he goes into those challenges. And I think moving forward, he could be one of the key pieces for this team because of what he can bring. Obviously, we've seen it in the past with LA Galaxy and Los Dos for the Panamanian national team. He was another big signing that I don't know if it necessarily went under the radar, but I think going forward, he's not going to be the one that's going to be scoring a ton of goals. So for him to get that goal and really pay off his performance, I think was really important. And obviously Manuel Arteaga set it up. So, but it was a good goal and it ended up being the winning goal for Phoenix Rising.
Yeah, I was absolutely delighted for him. So from there to the end of the game, Phoenix really did have to lock it down. The pressure was on, but there were still times where we were able to get out and threaten Birmingham Legion as well. So there were 9 yellow cards given in this game to Phoenix Rising alone. So Josh, so many of those cards, I think 4 of them, were for time wasting. So I don't remember seeing a lot of games where that many cards are given for yellows. I've seen them given to the goalkeeper when he's just, you know, close to the end of the game and he's really wanting to slow things down. And I've seen, you know, goalkeepers get a yellow, but to have so many all throughout the game, that was pretty unusual to me, Josh.
Yeah, and I was talking about it with Gary Bailey on the broadcast, and we kind of looked at each other during a few of them. We're like, we didn't really think that was a yellow card offense. It's obviously up to the discretion of the referee. But, I mean, it was just something, another piece of adversity Phoenix had to battle in that game because they really had to dig in, as you mentioned, in that second half, late on when after they scored that second goal. But overall, I mean, this was just a really gutsy performance from Phoenix going on the road, getting their first league win of the season. I'm not sure a lot of people expected it, but they're obviously the talent on this team is coming through, and I think it's going to continue to show moving forward. And if they can put in performances like that where they're under pressure that late in games, trying to hold on to a lead, that's going to do them wonders moving forward. It was something that they couldn't do against San Diego. They obviously do it against Birmingham. So I think that's definitely a turn of the corner, if you will, a learning curve that Phoenix has now gotten over, and they've shown now that they can close out a game, even if it costs them 9 yellow cards throughout the game.
Great stuff, Josh. Great stuff. So what's next for Phoenix? Well, next weekend, we've got Monterey Bay. So what do you see happening in that game?
Yeah, I mentioned them a little bit earlier, and this is a really, really solid team. Their midfield is solid, but that front three, and if it's the same, I don't know what changes Frank Yallop is going to make. That's also another talking point of Frank Yallop coming back to Phoenix. But Alex Dixon, he's had a great start to the season. Christian Valesky, Sam Gleadel, that is a potent attacking front, and that's definitely something that Phoenix is going to need to be cognizant of. They don't need the ball a ton either, which I know is something that actually might play into both teams' hands because Phoenix obviously likes to possess it. Monterey Bay is okay just kind of getting it upfield quick and trying to make things happen, which is how they scored a few of their goals against New Mexico. So this is not going to be an easy game. I know last year it was Monterey Bay's first ever game when they came to Wild Horse Pass. Last year's a big win for Phoenix Rising, but this time around, it's not going to be so easy. I think Monterey Bay is going to be up for it. I think it's a test really for both teams, kind of a prove it game early in this season. I know Phoenix still has some ground to make up in the standings. Monterey Bay is kind of right there in the middle right now, but this is going to be a really interesting early season match because Monterey Bay, I think, still has a lot of doubters to prove wrong. And Phoenix, obviously, with all the talent, all those newcomers, big things expected this year. So this is another game where Phoenix, I'm sure, is going to try to look to get on the front foot and of course be at home. They should expect that they should come away with the 3 points.
Yeah, 3 points after a 4-0 win, Josh. You know it. You heard it here first. All right, Josh, thank you so much for joining us today. I think we covered everything, Josh, at least all of my talking points. Was there anything else you wanted to throw in there?
No, I mean, it's just going to be interesting, I think, moving along in the season, kind of how Phoenix continues to grow and come together. They have a interesting kind of schedule upcoming with some Eastern Conference teams, but obviously Open Cup in there as well. And one point on the Open Cup I actually do want to make, and Juan Guerra brought it up ahead of the game against Greenville, is that because they have a little bit more squad depth this year, that the Open Cup might be a tournament in which they're going to try to make a deep run. And obviously they need to get through New Mexico United first. That's kind of first thing on the list. But don't be surprised if this Phoenix team starts to make some moves in that competition, because I think in the past they've left a little bit on the table. But moving forward, it's going to be really interesting to see what this team is able to do.
I'm looking forward to it. Josh, have you got a busy week ahead?
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be on the call for Phoenix this weekend, but I will be back next weekend for the San Antonio game on the road. So that'll be another big one, but I'll definitely be keeping an eye on Phoenix this weekend against Monterey Bay.
All right. Well, Josh, thank you so much joining us on the pod. We love having you here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, and always appreciate it, Niall.